Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 4th, 2019. In turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight, folks. And that choice is there because not only if I'm not saying it because we're in the time of the end. I'm actually saying it because you could walk out in front of a car and get splattered. And it's too late. You need to make for the choice for Yeshua tonight. Do that. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, I ask that you text it first, 316-619-4886, if at all possible. Now, you can, and also, if I don't answer, if you call, like, with the same number, like, three times in a row, then I'll answer it on the third call because there's too many solicitors and let alone, there's just too many solicitors out there, so I'm not getting all my calls. Anyway, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this are where at our ministry hub. That's very simply prophecyhour.com. And I am looking for somebody that knows how to work on, what do you call it? It begins with a W. WordPress websites. I got old websites that need to be fixed, and I had an offer of somebody to do it. I gave them the stuff. He said, oh, well, that will take longer. In other words, I don't see him doing anything. Anyway, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, thank our listener base. Where are they at this week? Well, they're in Copenhagen, Denmark, Auckland, New Zealand, Cape Town, South Africa, Madrid, Spain, core cities in the United States such as Buffalo, New York, Seattle, Washington, Arlington, Texas, and Fresno, California. Now, Wichita came in first as far as, Aurora, Illinois came in first, but when you, and that's just with downloads. They only had a couple of plays, which means streaming, but Wichita, Kansas, if you add all the plays and all the downloads together, they remain the largest group of listeners when the programs go to podcast later on tonight. Okay, follow us and share us at Twitter. We're at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Please, Father, and Yeshua, your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, folks, our country is being overrun. We're catching them, and they're just being released. They're not able to hold them. Thousands are coming across our border. This is like we have never seen before. It is literally an invasion. You know, it makes me wonder if there's any people even left down there in South America like Honduras. But the point is, it is a national emergency. But yet, you know, the people on one side of the aisle, they sit there and lie blatantly. Oh, it's no national emergency. Well, of course it isn't to them. The reason it isn't to them is because everyone they're looking at more votes or not even just votes. If the census allows it, to go without, you know, for them to fill out a census and say, not have to say that they are born in America, you see what I mean? They get another congressional seat. This is about congressional seats and votes. They don't care about the people. Get that? They don't care about the people. They don't care about you. If they cared about you, they would not be doing what they're doing. But they don't care. They're all about themselves and all about stealing power. And so tonight, I'm going to bring on Frank Stephan with us. As you all know, he is the producer of this program. He has his own radio program. And producer means that, you know, when he gets the people, puts them on, commercials, all those things, he produces the program. He's also the founder of American Voice Radio. So now let's welcome Frank Stephan. Are you there with me, Frank?
I am, Dan.
Yeah, well, how's Frank doing over there? Where, Oregon it is tonight?
Yeah, it is every night.
Yeah, yeah. You got clear. By the way, I haven't asked you in a while. Is your air clean now? You don't have any forest fires or anything, right?
No. Actually, it's raining right now. It's been raining. It's great. I mean, to have rain because, you know, I mean, the rain down here where we're getting it is great. It's, you know, it keeps the ground from drying up.
Right.
But what's really important is the mountains that are getting the snowpack. And that's why I love it when it rains, is because I know it's getting snow up on the mountains. And that means we might have some water for the summer.
Right. Yeah. You know, people are so uneducated nowadays, they don't realize that, hey, guess where you get the streams and all that? It starts up in the mountains and it runs down. It runs downhill to the ocean, basically. And so a lot of our kids aren't very educated nowadays, you know. They're just indoctrinated.
Well, you know, the thing about geography, you know, and it's not just the kids, okay? I hack on millennials quite a lot because they're dumb as rocks. They really are. And again, you know, there are always exceptions to the rule, okay? But the exceptions do not get rid of the rule, all right? There are extraordinary millennials out there, okay, that are very intelligent, far smarter than I'll ever be. But they are the vast minority, okay? They're like a minuscule amount, but you know, it's not just them this time, because you go ask the adults about geography, you know, where a state is, what's the capital of that state, you know, where are the Rocky Mountains? You ask people things like this, and they don't know.
Well, but where is the fault in that? The fault, though, is the people that are educating them, they're intentionally making them stupid is the only excuse that you can use.
Absolutely.
Hey, I know when I went to school, you first thing when you walk into the room, you know, I'm talking grade school type, you know what I'm saying? There was maps on the wall, you know, and it had Rocky Mountains, and you had everything on it, you know what I'm saying? And so you naturally knew a map. By the time you got out of grade school, you knew a map.
Oh, man, we had little, what do you call them, those puzzles, you know, like a jigsaw puzzle of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and every state was a piece. And you had to, you know, I mean, they made it into a game so kids would learn it. We did learn it, you know. And then, you know, I expanded my knowledge of geography by actually, you know, getting out there and looking around. And that's how you really know when you get out there, because everything else is just hearsay, okay?
Right.
You know,
right.
As a kid, I didn't know that, and I didn't realize that. I thought everything I was reading was absolute truth, and that's it, because these are experts and they know. Well, I've come to learn that that's not necessarily the case. And if you really want to know something, you got to go learn it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like the Bible says, you know, we're talking about the Bereans, they said, you know, you need to look everything up and search it out for yourself. But I will say this, though, the further back in time you go, you know, you didn't have the same kind of blatant. I'm sure they were trying to introduce it then, but there wasn't the same blatant lies that there was. They were, you know, they were trying to be accurate, pretty much, I think. But my point is this, you know, they made, for me anyway, hey, they made history and all that stuff really, really interesting. By the time I came out of grade school, I had already read my sister's. high school history book, which was, you know, very thick reading, and that's, you know, it made me a researcher, and that's what I do, you know what I mean, is I research things, and I learned, and they taught me, and when I was a kid, though, they taught me how to research things. They said, yeah, you need to look it up. They taught me how to go to a dictionary, look it up, and go past the dictionary to the encyclopedia, and physically looked it up and checked out the facts for ourselves, and then we had to write reports on those facts that we found for ourselves. Back to you.
Yeah, yeah. Book reports was, you know, one of those things that I didn't very often actually do in school because I really wasn't that in much of an engaged student as far as doing homework.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of refused because my thing was, look, I'm here 6-8 hours a day. If I can't learn it in that, I ain't gonna learn it. You know, that's just the way it is. I'm not going home and doing more of this. Home is home. This is school. Bang. That's it. And that was my attitude.
Right.
And that's what I. Now, once in a while, I had to do it, mainly in English. And English reports, doing a report. Very valuable
right.
to learn how to do this. Not because, you know, you're going to, oh boy, yeah, I'm going to use this in my life. I'm going to be writing a lot of reports. You know, I mean, I happen to, you know, do write a lot of things, but. Most people aren't gonna, but it's still valuable, very valuable, to even people who will never write another report in their life except in school. What it does is it teaches you to organize your thoughts,
right.
put them in a in a way that other people can understand them, mixing your facts and use your they call that critical thinking.
Right.
And present your point of view. That's what a book report is all about, okay? It's not so much that, oh, yeah, we want you to read a book and write us about it so we know that you read the book. Yeah, that's a part of it. You know, the teacher, of course, you're going to have trouble writing a book report of a book you didn't read. But, you know, it isn't just
right.
that. It's to get your thoughts together. It's to learn how to think. And that is something I think is completely removed from the public school system right now. It's no, we're going to shovel all these ideas, because they're not facts, they're ideas. We're going to shovel
right.
those into your empty head of rocks, and, you know, that's what it's going to be. And you don't have to ask any questions. You just need to know what we're telling you. And then we're going to test you on what we're telling you, and then off you go. You never learned to think anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, Right, they're not teaching you how to think, but even on other things, you know, now let's go to something else. Like, did you ever play dodgeball when you were a kid?
Oh, man, one of my favorite games.
Yeah, man, you know, we'd line up against the wall, and, you know, these other kids, you know, get this big rubber ball and throw it at you, and then we were told not to hit each other in the head.
Yeah, sure.
Like that. right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, and we get hit with these balls, and it was competition, you know, and it was, well, I can't wait till I can be the last one, so I get to throw it at you. And then, you know, if we played a game of sports, there was a winner and there was a loser, you know. And if you lost, it taught you how to lose, and it also taught you how to make yourself better so you could win. But they take all that out. It's just like now, you know, I remember when I first moved out of Wichita here, my kids, they were going to get into a baseball game, right? And so we get them on the team, and I'm watching them, you know, down at the little tiny ballpark they got. And I asked one of the parents, because I had left for a minute, come back. I said, what's the score? She said, what? I said, what's the score? You know, which team's winning? We don't keep score. What do you mean you don't keep score?
Yeah.
You don't keep score. Well, everybody wins. Really? Everybody wins? What are you teaching your children? And, you know, now that would even be called, you know, they could almost call that child abuse, in the sense that if you keep score, it's child abuse. You can't let your children be harmed by losing. Back to you.
Well, that's the saddest thing, you know, and I knew about this, that, you know, and it's not just where you are. It's all over the place. Parents are doing this like it's some kind of good thing. Oh, yeah, it's just playing. It's not about winning. It is about winning. It's always about winning, okay? That's
right.
Why we play games. That's why we compete, okay, to either win or lose. You know, that's why we do this. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. I mean, okay, how many Do you think, and okay, so the NFL is having a little trouble, you know, filling stadiums these days anyway, but do you think it would help them if they said, well, you know, we've been having an attendance problem because of the idiots that we allow to go crazy. So what we've decided to do to, you know, try to boost attendance is we're not going to keep score anymore. Do you really think that people would waste any money at all going to buy a ticket to go watch a football game that they're not keeping score at?
Well, yeah, actually I do. I think there's some millennials out there.
Okay, well, yeah, you know, there's that exception to the rule again thing. But good golly, you know, I don't think it would work, put it that way. I really don't think that would boost their attendance.
No, it wouldn't boost their attendance. But in answer to that, I do believe there would be some that, yeah, okay. But so you have millennials, and under millennials is Generation Z coming up. And I've heard that those kids are, you know, better, you know, are rebelling against their parents and are more knowledgeable and are wanting to seek things out. But they're being polluted. The millennials are polluting their children with all these things like, hey, it's like the race to see, hey, I got a transgender kid in my house. You know, they're indoctrinating their children to do things that are harmful to them mentally, and is such a, what, less than 5 years ago, all that was called abuse and mental illness.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole homosexuals just alone, you know, there were studies done, and, you know, it's a fact that homosexuals, and I found this interesting, that it doesn't matter if they're female or male homosexuals, okay? It's the same for either one of them, because I went into reading this stuff thinking, well, this is probably going to be the male homos are going to be the ones, you know, that are really going to be damaged the most. But it's not. It's both, okay? It's like 20 years off your life, okay? And people go, well, yeah, but that was back. They did that back when AIDS was killing a lot of them. Oh, yeah, well, okay, here's the bad thing for you is that they took AIDS deaths out of their figuring. Because they knew that, too, that, hey, this is going to skew the numbers. This is a specific thing. It may go away. It may not. It may be cured. It may not. But we're not going to count it, right? We want to know, other than that, other than this terrible disease that we know they have,
right?
What is it, the whole, though, without that? 20 years without that. And it's, you know, because, look, it's a nasty, nasty, it's nasty things they do. And spreads disease, okay?
Sure.
And they are promiscuous to the point of insanity nearly, okay? You read these things about how many partners these homos go through. It's amazing, okay? It's disturbing.
Let me throw this in. I remember when I was young, growing up in Wichita, Kansas, we used to see these, you know, we'd hang out downtown. You know, we'd go take a bus and go downtown and walk downtown and hang out.
Yeah, I remember you hoodlums.
Yeah, okay, well, saying that, and we were hoodlums. You know, there's no joke. We used to call it JD. I was in a gang. Anyway, but here's the point. We'd pass the bus station, you know, and we'd see all these young guys, you know, walking just the whole block around the bus station. And, you know, naturally, first time I saw that, I asked, you know, one of the older guys, hey, what's all that about? Well, they walked around the bus station, and queers could drive around the bus station, homosexuals, whatever you want to call it, and they would pick up those boys, you know what I'm saying, and give them money to do it. But here it goes back to what you were just saying. You know, they were just picking up, number one, in both categories. First, the kids are getting into a vehicle with somebody they completely don't know, you know, or in some case, maybe after they do it a while, they know them all, right? Okay, but you see my point. But then the homosexual guy is picking up these kids that, you know, could have anything, you know what I'm saying, because they've been with so many different. And you talk about proscumus, how much more is it than that? You know what I'm saying? That's just filthy, you know, not even, back here.
Well, yeah, and the thing about it is, my point was going to be that, you know, back in the day, insurance companies and everybody would do the thing called actuary tables. And that's just to find out, okay, this group of people, white men, how long do they live? White women, how long do they live? Black women, how long do they live? Okay, and they would go through everybody that way. Okay, you're a homo, white man, how long do you live? You're a homo, white girl, how long do you live? You're a homo, black girl, how long? And they go through this whole thing, and they do it because, well, they're insurance companies. Okay, and right. They look at it, and they're going, okay, you, when you buy insurance, understand this, folks, you're betting. You're gambling, okay? You are gambling when you buy insurance. You're gambling that something bad's going to happen to you. That's what you're gambling on. You're putting that money in there going, well, I just know someday something bad's going to happen to me, and I want to have this paid for. That's what you're doing. Well,
right.
When they sell you insurance, I want some life insurance. Okay, so who are you? And you go, well, I'm a black male. Aged, whatever. Well, they go to their actuary tables and they go, okay, black male, aged, whatever, boom. Okay, you're going to live to about 71. Well, let's see. You know, you're 30 now, you'll die at 71. Sure, we'll sell you life insurance. But let's just say, well, you're a homo? Well, let's see here. Oh, you're going to die at 42. Okay? And now you're 30. No, we're not going to sell you life insurance.
Right.
Because you know what? We don't allow card counters in this here casino. So when you start feeling discriminated against, think about the card counters at the casino. They don't let them in. If they know who you are and they find out you're counting cards, you're banned from that casino. Now, what's wrong with that? You're just smarter. That's all. You're just able to keep track of things better. What, you're not allowed to gamble? No, you're not allowed to gamble. And just like if you die in 10 years, they're not going to sell you life insurance. But the federal government stepped in even back then, and they said, well, you know, the same goes true for, say, you go, I want to go buy a house. I want to get a 30-year mortgage, right? Yeah, right. So you're a 30-year homo. You die at 42. They're not going to give you that mortgage, man, because you're never going to make the payments. So you're not going to make it.
Okay? Right.
So they don't do it. And the government said, well, you know, we're not going to allow this. So instead of just saying, look, you can't discriminate against that, they said, okay, we're not going to keep track. We're not going to count any actuary tables based on your sexual preference. So now they've had a pass for all these years where they can get out there in their little pink tutus and act like they're just the happiest group of little homos that ever were, hiding all along that they die at 40. Okay? And this just isn't right. And they're passing this stuff off at school like just another lifestyle. Well, that's like telling the kids, hey, man, smoking cigarettes and shooting heroin is just another lifestyle. Why don't you take that up, kids? You'll have a lot of fun.
Hey, Frank, that producer guy's going to get upset. We got to go to a break.
Oh, man. Okay, well.
We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Well, wait.
Four minutes,
geez, you're pretty fast with that, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty fast. You're supposed to be.
Well, I was busy talking.
Yes, people just can't be quiet.
Well, I'll remember that when you have me as a guest next time. I'll say, no, I'm going to be quiet then. We'll see how much fun it is to have me as a guest. Yeah. Okay.
I don't believe it.
So now I'm just lying. So it's break time, is it?
Yeah, it's break time.
Don't go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
land of promise beyond the River Jordan. God gave to his servant Abraham. Out of it would rise a nation for all the world to see. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel.
When confronted with the undeniable fact as to pagan practices having been labeled Christian, many people recognizing the truth make the statement, "But that is not what it means to me." The truth is that what it means to us makes no difference. The real question is, what does it mean to God? A good example of a similar situation which should serve as an example to us can be found in Exodus 32. At Mount Sinai, the people, fearful of what might have happened to Moses, broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. We are told that he took the gold, melted it, and made a golden calf. Not only that, but an altar was built and proclamation was made, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." The scriptures say that the people rose up early the next day, made offerings, and sat down to eat and to drink. The Lord said that the people, by proclaiming these pagan practices to be in His honor, had corrupted themselves and had turned away from the commandments which He had given them. These abominable practices had angered the Lord to the extent that He spoke to Moses, saying, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them." It is important to consider that the golden calf in the wilderness represented the Egyptian cow and bull gods Hathor and Apis, and that the cow goddess Hathor was associated by the Greeks with Aphrodite or present-day Easter. No, what things means to us makes no difference. Our only concern should be, what does it mean to our Creator? I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we're having a good conversation with Frank Stephan tonight, and of course he's right there ready to talk. But first, I want to give you a little plug about the Wichita Mission Church and some things. First off, a lot of you don't know, maybe all of you know, we have a, that if you were listening live on ABR, you heard the commercial. We have a mission church in Wichita, Kansas. We help the homeless and poor, anybody that walks in the door. We don't ask them, are you homeless? Are you poor? Whatever. They come in. They look around. If we have something they need, they get it. You know, we feed them. We clothe them. We give them first aid. And, you know, and that depends even on what kind of donations we got. Because I try to give them over-the-counter medication, something nobody else does. So we are the last hope for so very, very many people, folks. And we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. So we try to help whoever walks in the door. We don't discriminate, black, white, green, purple. I don't ask you what's your preference on this or that or whatever. We help you. There's many, many miracle prayers that go out there. People are saved. People are have been cured of brain tumors, heart problems, and all kinds of things. But we need your support. We're in our 19th year. We'll start our 20th year in June. And so, but we've only been able to do that from you folks. You people that hear us on radio are the ones that support the Wichita Mission Church. So I ask that you pray about a donation. Also, Passover's coming up. And so I pray that you might just consider a donation for Passover. So how can you donate? Now, there's different ways to do that, but the first one I want to point you out to is prophecyhour.com. If you click prophecyhour.com, right below the thing that says "Warning the World Has Happened," there's a paragraph that I put on there that says, "If you want to gain, if you gain from our radio programs, the news links, or other items, consider a small donation to help keep us on the air, keep us giving you the news, radio on the air, and keep the Mission Church open." And it says click here, or on the lion logo right below on the right. You can't miss it. You click on that and you can give a donation. Other than that, you can donate online, like there, or mailing a check or money order, or you can give a donation over the phone, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. Now, if you scroll down at prophecyhour.com a little bit, it says contact and donations page, and there's a little alien, little tiny green alien that's pointing his hand, and he says, "Greetings, greetings." Well, that's where our email, phone number, and all those other things are. And if you scroll down a little bit further, there's even a form where you don't even have to look it up. You can fill it out. It says name, email, and message, and you can send it. It'll come right to me. So pray about it. Or if you have a question, you can even do this on this contact where it says contact and prayer request form. For Pastor Dan, you can ask me a question, or if you've got a hint for a radio guest that you'd like us to have on, put it on there and put their website on there. Or if, per se, that you got a question about something Frank or I or my wife and I or me and I and another guest have brought up on the program, you can put it there also and send it to me. That's a really good message form to get to me, and then we can start a dialogue. You can use my telephone number, 316-619-4886. See, it's a smartphone, so send me, I call it a dumb phone. That's a dumb phone, really. Anyway, but you can send me a text. And if you do, then I can actually talk to you on the phone. The reason I say text is because I don't know about you, but I'm getting tons of solicitors over the telephone. So these are the ways that you can get a hold of us. But pray about supporting us. You know, we help so many people doing so many things. And I was just talking to some people the other night at the gym, and some young kids, and I was explaining to them that, you know, I could hardly go anywhere in Wichita without somebody recognizing me and yelling at me saying, "Hey, Pastor Dan," and wanting to talk or thank me for what we did for them. Well, as soon as I told them that, and mind you, it's like 12:30 or something after I get out of the gym, because I go to the gym late. So I'm 12:30, I get out of the gym, I go by Walmart, pick up a couple of things for here, home, and to get dinner for Friday, because I'm making spaghetti, and I really go all out. You should ask my spaghetti recipe sometime. Anyway, what do? I go there, and, you know, no sooner than somebody says, "Hey, Pastor Dan," and you know, I just turn around and say, "Were you talking to me?" And that was funny because somebody in the next aisle laughed, and so everybody got to know that, "Oh, yeah, are you still over there on Broadway? You still helping homeless and poor? Can we come by and help you?" Well, so many people offer to come by and help, if you do it. But this young lady, if I've got her face right, this was a girl that had her mother brought her in with three other children. I watched them grow up. She lived down the street, And she was she's a, you know, Hispanic. To me, I just say Mexican, I guess. But she's a really nice lady, and she'd bring her kids in to eat. And she went through, had several different husbands during that period of time. But I watched her children grow up. And they grew up coming in eating egg sandwiches and getting clothing out of our clothing closet and getting over-the-counter medication. And so, you know, this is what we've been doing for a very long time. So pray about it. We could really use your help. And right now, also, I'm trying to get up enough money for Passover, and I'm still a few hundred off of my goal I need for Passover really bad. So pray about a Passover donation. But you can, if you go to prophecyhour.com, it's really easy to figure out how to make a donation to us, and I pray that you will, because we're just trying to help. Okay. Anyway, now, Frank, are you, of course, you're there waiting, right?
No, I'm on vacation. Yeah. I went to the Caribbean. I figured you can just do the rest.
Yeah, okay. Moving right along. I accidentally clicked on Facebook during break.
Sorry.
And they got one of these little, they call them memes things. I don't know why they call them that, but it's a picture. And, it has different things on it, you know, and it's got this kid asking.
They call them memes, by the way.
Okay, that thing. Anyway, and so they got this red-haired alien-looking kid asking some guy from one of the space programs, I don't know, says, did you achieve border security? And he says, yes. And then the girl asks him the next one, and it says, what did it cost? And he says, guacamole. And it says below it, it says, if Trump closes the Mexican border, Americans will run out of avocados in 3 weeks. So what? It is a national emergency. We're being overrun. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I read that story. And it just goes along with how petty Californians actually are. Okay? You know, I mean, oh, you can't shut the border. We're going to be out of avocados. Oh, really? That's too damn bad. I'm sorry. And plus, why isn't California growing their own avocados? Huh? Too much regulation from the Democrat government? Oh, is that why? Yeah, that is why. That's exactly why California will run out of avocados, because the Democrats running California have killed the domestic avocado growers, man. Just with their crazy regulations about everything.
Right. Well, it's their crazy regulations that brought on all these forest fires, but well, I'm going to stick on the border for a minute.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Well, that's all right. But that's right. California is just ridiculous. And I would hate to admit it, I was actually born there, but my mother and father brought me to Kansas when I was 3 years old. Anyway.
Well, listen, man, what year were you born?
1955. I'm going to be 64 years old on July 4th this year.
1955. Let's say you're, you know, even 10 years old, 1965. California was a paradise in 1965. Okay? Everyone in the whole country knew California was a paradise. Everybody wanted to go there.
Yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey, and we all wanted to go there. Because everybody went there, came back going, oh, man. And it was true. And they have absolutely destroyed it. California is a great example of the Garden of Eden. Because, I mean, you know, we have trashed that up, too. And I go back to my underlying statement. It doesn't matter what form of government we have, whether it's socialism, communism, republicanism, monarchy, whatever it is, it isn't going to work. And it isn't going to work because we have a fallen nature. We will destroy everything and anything we ever have because it's our nature. And this idea about walking around thinking, well, everybody's inherently good, that's a lie. That's exactly the opposite of what's true. Now, that doesn't mean people can't try to be decent, but you've got to try. Because if you don't try to do the right thing and be a decent man or woman, you're going to be a real problem because it's our nature. If we just let ourselves go, we will end up doing some horrible, horrible things because that's our nature. It takes effort not to be, is what I'm saying.
Right. Well, you're absolutely right, you know, and that's, you just made the case for Christ, you know, absolutely did, because we were fallen, and no matter how hard we try, we're going to mess it up.
Yep.
And so that's why Yeshua had to die for us, because no matter how hard we try, but that doesn't mean we aren't supposed to try. See, that's what happens with a lot of people. Well, I'm not going to make it anyway, so why try? No, you have to try. But
well, that's what I'm saying about effort. You know,
right.
you can appear to be a fairly decent man or woman, you know, but that doesn't mean you are. It just means you appear to be. And that's good. That's a start. That's about as best as we can do. Okay? you know, but don't deceive yourself, you know, into thinking that, well, I'm a good person. No, you're not. Neither am I, neither is Dan, neither is anybody else. Even Jesus said, hey, why are you calling me good? There's nobody good except the Father.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But, and, hey, you'd have to read your Bible to know that part, so.
Yeah, there's that. but, you know, there's the point. And the Father didn't make any. Look, we back in the days, you know, not everybody had Bibles. They actually went to and listened to a preacher preach. But the problem is our preachers have lost their savor. They've lost their salt. They don't teach and preach what they should. And that's why I always throw everything back on the door of the church, because all of these problems, all of them, if you go back to one thing, by the church went shutting their mouth and being politically correct, and allowing these things to go on, because as long as the church was speaking up and speaking out, that's where people went. You know what I'm saying? That changed their minds. And when it went from the church shut up, then what happened after the church shut up and became 501(c) corporations? Oh, hey, we lost prayer in the school. They took the Ten Commandments out of the school. Next thing, we had Roe versus Wade. All because what? The church started shutting up, because it's just like, so much keeps being skewed into the way that the leftists want it. Why is that working? Because all of the voices are screaming it. Now imagine what it would be like if all of those wonderful conservatives out there and all of us started screaming like they did, do, and say, hey, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Problem is we became shut up. So, and I'm going to let you comment on that, but I got something I also want to throw out there. You know, you've been hearing all this about creepy Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been creepy forever. Ever since I seen him, I feel like if I could be close to him, slapping him for some of the things I've seen
you know
him
what?
Grab
now,
women.
Now, wait a minute.
But
now, wait a minute,
Dan. Let me give you this one statement, that, and then I'll shut up. But I got this statement of him, and he says at this one meeting, he says, we want unrelenting immigration until whites are an absolute minority. Now you can talk.
Well, I'm not surprised that he would say something like that. They'll say anything, okay, to get elected. And the thing about creepy Joe Biden is that, all right, it's true. You know, he's done this forever. But what I don't get, Dan, I really don't understand, because, I mean, in high school, even in grammar school, man, girls slap me on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I don't understand why these women aren't hauling off and busting his jaw when he puts his hands on them like that. But what's going on here? Do you like it? Do you want it? And then later you're going to complain about it? Why didn't you slap him? I mean, the thing is, it's not only for you, okay? Because, look. Old Joe gets slapped a few times, maybe he'll catch on that, oh, wow, chicks don't like to be groped. Wow, who knew? You know, maybe he'd catch on. But by letting it go and letting it go, he thinks this is okay behavior.
Right, and I get that. And, you know, I'm not, people say, well, you shouldn't pick on the victim. Okay, I understand that some women, you know, and this is the problem with it, is they say, well, you know, he's a guy in power, or he's a vice president of the United States. No, I'm not taking, here are my whole sentence. You know, and they say that, and I understand if you being honestly scared about that, but but there is a problem here. Women, I've never seen women react in such a manner or non-react in such a manner because I'm like you. I grew up in a time where women slap faces, and if they, you try doing touching my wife, and she don't want to be touched. You know what she's going to do? She's going to slap you. She's going to tell you about it and everything else.
Sure.
My daughter, the same way. She's going to tell you, I don't want to be touched in that manner. You know what I'm saying?
They will shame you. Shame you publicly.
I always go to the wonderment. When somebody has a funny behavior, then I always wonder, well, where did they learn that behavior from? Is it something that they haven't been being taught, or have they been taught to be submissive? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do, but, you know, the thing is, I'm sorry, I've been around too many girls that have slapped me for acting inappropriately, and, you know, the thing is, why does Joe Biden get away with it? And the thing is, all right, fine, so he gets away with it. Maybe you like Joe Biden, but the thing is, look, 10, 20 years later, it is not okay to come back and complain about it. You should have done something about it at the time. And it doesn't take that much. It's not a federal case. You didn't have to sue him or go to the police. You just had to slap him. Or maybe push him away and scream at him. Shame him.
You're getting to the root. And we've talked about, I know we've talked about this before, going back to the whole Me Too movement. That's my biggest problem I have with all these women screaming out in Hollywood and all these things and saying, well, I was, you know, I had to do this or that to get a movie or whatever, you know, is just this. Either you didn't say, and there are some stars that came out, you know, older ones like Dolly Parton said, well, hey, you know, I did that. I slapped her face, told them no, told them off. And some other stars that have said the same thing. Most of them went along with it. And maybe they wanted it. Maybe they didn't want it, but they either went along with it or then – that was the time to say something.
Well,
that was the time to speak up. But they didn't do it. So when somebody comes out with accusations 20 years later, I'm sorry, I question your credibility.
Well, and
a couple of them could be, yeah, honestly true and felt bad all these years and had problems about it, how many of them are just going, well, oh, yeah, hey, but they agreed with it at that time. Back to you.
Well, anybody who's ever watched Bugs Bunny sees what's going on. It's pile on the bunny rabbit. Okay, that's what it is. That's all they're doing. Oh, Me Too, Me Too. They're not kidding when they named it Me Too. Me Too,
right.
Me Too. You see somebody getting some, I want some too. Me Too, Me Too. Doesn't matter if you earned it or you're entitled to it. Me Too, Me Too. That's their thing. Okay, that's what it really is. It's perfectly named, but people don't still get it. And the bottom line is, no. Look, I guarantee if somebody puts their hands on me inappropriately, I'm stopping it right then. They're going to know about it. They're going to understand that this is inappropriate. Okay, I'm not going to go into details, but the thing is, you know, I have been slapped by women. I've been slapped in bars. I've been slapped in school. I've been slapped all over. And I didn't even lay my hands on any of these women. It's some of the suggestions I made that they didn't appreciate. Whack! What the heck? Why isn't that working for Joe Biden? I'll tell you why. Because these women that are now complaining about pervy Joe Biden touching them wrong, they wanted something from old Joe. They figured, well, you know, old Joe's a perv, and I don't like getting touched, but, you know, Joe's a man of power. He can get me a job. He can get me some influence. He can get me where I want to go. And then 10 years later, I'll complain about it. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. And when you look at somebody like Dolly Parton, all it does is go to prove that, hey, guess what? It is possible. You can slap him in the face and say no and still be a big star. Because I'd say that I don't even think it's arguable. I think pretty much everybody listening would agree with me that Dolly Parton's a pretty big star.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know there's some lesser-named ones out there that I've read, but I used her because she's the biggest star that I can think of that said it. And I, and you know what? And for the record, I got to say this for the folks. For the record, I do agree with Frank's opinion, but I will say there is latitude that there is some women out there that, you know, maybe didn't have the courage or whatever. There are some that are an exception to that rule, as there is everything, because nothing is 100%. Okay, back to you.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I'm done with the whole, oh, I'm just didn't have the courage. Well, then you're a victim, okay? Enjoy it. It's just like the, you know, what did the founding fathers say to those that didn't want to participate in the revolution? Well, I hope your chains are light on you. That's what they told them. And that's what I say. If you don't have the courage to stand up, then you're a victim. Live with it. Love it. Okay? Own it. Because that's who you are, because that's who you want to be. You know,
but
I don't want to hear
all of them want to be victims, Frank. They all want to be victims.
Apparently.
They're all looking to, they're all looking to prove how big of victims they are. I don't get it.
I don't either, you know, because I never I don't think, because I look at myself and I go, well, is there any way I could be a victim? Yeah, there's probably ways I could be a victim. But you know what? I look at it and go, yeah, there probably are some things I could say, well, look at that, I was victimized. Maybe I was. So what? The thing is, I don't want to be a victim. What kind of a lunatic does it take to want to be a victim? I mean, honestly.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's why they say, you know, who was it wrote the book said the left is a mental illness, you know?
Oh, man, yeah. I forget which one it was. It was one of the, you know, one of the Republican talking heads that wrote a book. It might have been Savage.
That, or else that blonde, I think she may have wrote it. I don't know. Anyway, we're at the end of the program. I appreciate you being on with me.
Already?
It's like a good place to throw you out or to say goodbye to you.
I think you're messing with the clock is what I think. I think you're cutting time short. I don't think I got enough airtime.
Yeah. We'll have to take it up with the producer, you know, because I got to throw a couple of puns in here. So.
Oh, okay. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Yeah, always a pleasure. All right. See you later. Bye. All right, folks, that was Frank Stephan. His program is on, well, like right before mine, and he's live, and you find him at AmericanVoiceRadio.com. And Frank is just there being frank about everything. And but really, tune into his program, listen up. And again, now, the reason I got Frank out a couple of extra minutes early is I wanted to say something to you is, one, folks, if you have topics or things like that you'd like to talk to us about, you know, let us know. And again, but pray about charity. And I'm not talking about charity with, oh, this is to send Pastor Dan some money. No, this isn't about that. Kindness and charity begins in your own home. You need to start there. You need to be kind to everybody in your home. And you have to also, part of being kind and loving people is telling them the truth. And that's what things are about. Stand on the truth. If somebody's doing something wrong, you need to, in a loving manner, tell them the truth. And be willing to accept when somebody tells you that you're doing wrong. We are responsible one for another. And it starts in your own home first, because what comes out of your home, we've talked about education and all these different things. There are all these other things that are putting it out, but you can combat that by giving your children the truth. And giving your brothers and sisters the truth, your mother and dad, whatever it is, you need to go against untruth. You need to stand up for Yeshua. You need to stand up for Christianity, because when and if, and I believe the left at some point is going to win. Maybe not. I could be wrong. But at some point when they are going to completely take up no borders, they're going to take your guns, the country is going to be in civil war, and it's going to be bloody. Unless what? Prayer, number one, standing on truth, helping one another, and you need to learn to help one another now. And so kindness and charity starts first in your home, and then it spreads out there. If you got money left over, there's something that you can spare. We'll pray about supporting the Messiah's Branch Mission Church or supporting radio. You know, we're just basically a home church with a building. We don't have a huge congregation to pay for how much it costs to take care of everybody. So we rely on you folks, and we ask you to pray about it. As if my wife was here, she'd say, well, tell them to pray about it. And, you know, so that's it. Pray about it. Lift it up. But remember, folks, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way of the Father. We are supposed to do something in remembrance of him, and that is called keeping Passover. Passover's coming. It starts at dark on the 19th, which means the 20th. Passover. Keep it. Tend to cedar. Pray about supporting art. We're still short money for Passover. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.